Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
I have a crazy story. And when we asked how many people weren't here last year, I was quite surprised. I'm like, where were you? Seriously, don't miss next year. Book now. But I have a crazy story. I shared a lot of it last year, but I'll just do a few bits. I was born in London. This Bible works. Okay? It works. But like good deodorant, it has to be applied. You can have the best deodorant on your shelf, but if you don't put it on, you'll end up smelling at some point. And it, as a Christian, if you don't apply it, you will end up smelly. And there are a few around. Not in here. But I've had this Bible and I found it works because without it, I would be a mess. So I was born in London. My dad was an alcoholic. My mum was a manic, depressive, schizophrenic. I was abducted off the streets of London and sexually abused. Then I was abused by lesbians over a long period. And then I was abused by a family member all before I was 11. And at 11, my mum moved again. We were in a hotel in London. And my mum went to bed and the porter kept the first floor and it became a brothel. And my brother and I changed sheets every 25 minutes. And then went to school the next day as if nothing had happened. And then my mum left my dad. I became her full-time carer. She spent a lot of time in a mental institution. I kind of grew up there. That's no excuse for my behaviour, because there is none. At 16, I took a massive overdose. Wasn't a cry for help because I didn't think anyone could help me. I did it on a Wednesday. My mum was in hospital. My brother was working in Scotland Monday to Friday. So I did it on a Wednesday. I thought I'd be well gone before anybody finds me. My brother's job cancelled and he came home. I was furious. I thought, I can't even die in peace. But you know, maybe you're here and you don't know God, but he knows you. He knew me. As that little girl, he knew me. And then at 18, I met this amazing guy who married me. How brave was he? You know, shiny apples, you know the red ones that you polish? Have you ever had one of those and then you bite it and it's yuck? That was me. I looked really cool on the outside. I'm a 60s chick and I don't remember it, so I had a good time. And so I was one of those girls and he married me, which was really brave. If you're pregnant in the house, put your fingers in your ear, I'm not normal. We had our daughter, I was epileptic, diabetic, lost my hair, lost my teeth. They found out I had 4 kidneys and they said that I was dying when I was 30. And then after that, I'd never told anybody about the abuse. I hate secrets with a passion, love surprises. You can surprise me whenever. And so, long story short, we ended up getting divorced. And if you're divorced in here, love you. And if you know people who are going on the journey and you've got nothing nice to say, shut your mouth. Don't say anything unless you can say something nice. It's a stinky journey, even if you want to do it. Because I felt a failure and I instigated it. So we were divorced. I got breast cancer. He came home. We got back together, went around Europe in a camper van on a Greek island. We got saved. As you do. Came home, got remarried, and God gets the glory. So I was called forward. I was called forward, as are you. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And there is no end to that. There really is no end. He's a good, good father. He's good for us. And the title of my message is called to be wild. Listen, if church is boring, it's because we are. If life is boring, it's because we are. Because this Jesus is not boring. I used to be bored before I was a Christian. I was one of those people who stood in the queue like this. How much longer? You know, I'm still working on fast stuff. You know, if I go through McDonald's and I have to wait, I'm like, they said it's fast food. Jane, my daughter, goes, Mum. I'm like, well, why are we waiting? So patience is something I'm still growing in. Patience with myself. And some of you here don't have patience with yourself. We'll deal with it today. I worked at Hillsong College. We moved here to Australia 10 years ago. I worked at Hillsong College as a lecturer, trainer for 7 years. And then I felt God say it was time to go. Now, we pastored the church in the UK for 20 years. We've done lots of things because I've lived a long time, okay? That's all it is. You can do lots of things. You just have to live long enough to do them. And I'll be 70 next month, so we can do this. We can do it. And the doctors say I'd die at 30. Well, I did because I became a Christian. I was baptised in water. Hello, I died. They were right, just wrong. And so when I finished college, I used to preach out from my church, our church in the UK, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, I'm ready to go preach. He's like, Margaret, I don't need another preacher, thanks. I'm like, well, you could have said before I left college. And he said, I need a minister. So I'm going to minister today. You'll get out of this. However hungry you are, you'll get fed. If you don't respond, I don't care. It's between you and God. But I'm going to be obedient to him today. This is his platform. He reminds me every time I get up here, this is not yours, this is mine. And we'll go where he wants to go. Is that okay? Because he's fun and he'll deal with what needs to be dealt with in this room in a loving, precious, powerful, but profound way. Because that's who he is. And he came to set us free. And we are called to be wild. And you think, Margaret, wild about what? Wild about Jesus. Totally wild about him. You know, when I met him, I was like, oh my word. Have you ever seen someone who's just got engaged? They're like, oh, hello. Time is it? Oh, you didn't know. I've been found. He loves me. Well, I was like that. When I met Jesus, we were on a campsite on Crete. Fred and I were running it with our daughter, Jane. We have one daughter, 4 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren. God is kind. And so we were there, like, and everyone, when I met him, I'm like, why didn't anyone tell me before? And some of you in this room like that, like, I didn't know there was a Jesus who cared. I knew there was a God in heaven kind of thing, but I didn't know he cared. I didn't know that he died for me. I didn't know he really loves me, unconditionally loves me. You know, if we love people conditionally, it's actually manipulation. So stop it. Unconditionally. Deal? Yeah, well, he did. And I was like, oh, my word. So everyone I met, I'm like, you have to come. You have to come. You have to see this Jesus that I've met. And I believe that we're in a season now where we all need to be doing that. Yeah. That we need to be talking about Jesus. Just tell your Jesus story. Yeah. Praise God. Hopefully it's not as crazy as mine. But, you know, whatever your story is, there are people who need to hear it. But some of you are just like, I'm not sure I can do that, Margaret. Well, get good. In John 14, verse 23, in the Passion, it says, Jesus replied, loving me, listen to this, empowers you. Isn't that a good swap? Empowers you to obey my word. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make our dwelling place. You know, he doesn't just say, Margaret, go. He comes with me. I love that. We don't just serve a God who commands you, oh, go. He's like, we will go. Because love does that. Love doesn't leave us alone. Love doesn't leave us alone. But, you know, some of us kind of talk, who talks themselves out of things really easily? I used to be one of those. Now I talk myself in. But, you know, I believe that there is a whole move of boldness coming to us as women, but to us as the church. And to us as the world, we need to be bold. Jesus didn't go, I think I might go to the cross. Maybe not. Possibly, you know. And yet, as Christians, we kind of get a bit like that. You know, I come from England and we have milk persons. They used to be called milkmen, but we're politically correct. They're milk persons. And if you live in England, they will come and you can order it and they put milk on the doorstep. Okay, you wake up and there's milk. So polite. But, you know, the milkman knocks on your door and asks you if you want it. But imagine a milkman coming to the door and going, hello, I'm the milk person. I deliver the milk. You don't have to have it if you don't want it. There's a little date on the top. I don't sell stuff that's out of date. If it ever gets hot, I could put the milk round the back. Who would buy milk from that person? No one. But Christians, we go, you could come to next year's Flourish, but I don't know if you'd like. We kind of sing and we get excited and stop it. Just tell people there's a God in heaven who loves them and that as a gathering of women, we're going to see his kingdom come. We're going to see his will done and we are going to be changed. Amen? So we need holy boldness. Not arrogance, but holy boldness. And you know, shy is me-centered. It's about me. Well, you know, who's been baptized in water? Well, you died. I know it's good news. If you're visiting, we didn't kill them. But when you get baptized, you go into the water and it says that you were died and you were raised in Christ. was some of us need to die quietly. Just quietly die. Just make a lot of noise for dead people. I've pastored for a long time and there's a lot of noise. And you know, dead people don't. And it's just Christ that lives in me. But I believe there's an anointing in this room. When I came in this morning, God said, you need to go there. I'm like, can I just get to know them a bit? He's like, it's not your platform. So who knows that they are not as bold as they need to be for this season of their life? Just raise your hand. You know that you need holy boldness. Holy boldness. Not just arrogant, but holy boldness. Stand up to those lovely feet. He's going to give it to you today. Right around this room. Look, this is going to change the world. This is going to change. All we need is boldness just to say yes to Jesus. It's not hard. You just say yes. I'm going to have a go. How many of us have walked away from a conversation thinking, I wish I'd? Yes. Not after today. Yes. Not after, you know, all of heaven right now. In the Passion, it says, Jesus looks over heaven's balcony. Yeah. He's looking over the balcony right now. Yeah. And he's like, look at my people. Yeah. Look at my girls and guys. And he says, look, Daddy's like, I know, son. And I believe Jesus will look at his nail-pierced hands and go, so worth it. So worth it. He died for us so that we could be bold. Bold enough to share our stories. Bold enough to love people that we don't like. You know those? We've all got those. Sandpaper brothers and sisters, I call them. We all have them. But we're going to love them boldly. Hand on your heart, pray with me. Pray with Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you as I stood. I received a fresh anointing of holy boldness. I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to live it out. I'm going to speak it out in Jesus' name. Keep me accountable. Amen. Heaven is cheering. Now, if you're sitting down, cheer really loud. And if you're standing, give yourself a really good clap. All the angels right now are like, oh my word. Melbourne and the nations will never be the same. You may take your seat. I don't know where you'd take it. Aren't we funny? We say funny things. If you took it, someone would stop you before you got to the door. And just to remind you that the love of Christ is proven. It's not just a word. It was demonstrated on the cross, but our love for Jesus is demonstrated by our obedience. You know, you can say you love him until he asks you to do something. And you're like, oh, I don't love you that much. But you know, our obedience is better than sacrifice. Yeah. And you stood today and all of heaven cheered. And he's going to use us to be wild about him. And I just want to dare you, you know, Monday will come and people say, how was your weekend? And you'll go, yeah, it was good. No, I dare you to say it was amazing. I dare you to say I was changed. I dare you to say I went to Flourish and I just thought it was going to be another time and another. But actually, do you know what? I'm totally different. So watch out. Imagine if you said that. That'd keep you accountable at work, wouldn't it? You know, I won't moan anymore. I won't be late. You know those things that we'll see signs of change and we'll speak it out because we love Jesus. And we're crazy about him. We're called to be crazy about him. We're called to be wild about him. Not kind of, yeah, I go to church. Seriously. That's not... Seriously, that people don't get that, like, oh, nice. It's like saying I go to the pub. But when you say my life has changed every week, I have friends who love me even when I mess up. The world is hungry for that. I have friends who really love me, even when I mess up, even when I don't talk to them, even if I don't call them, they still love me. They're like, where do you go? Oh, it's called the house of God. I love it. Let's be crazy about God's word. I want to challenge us, especially younger people. Have you read it cover to cover?
Yeah, very good.
I know. It's like, really? I asked him, you know, why Lamentations? Seriously? Why? What were you thinking? Like, seriously, do we really? I love Song of Songs. It's all about sex. I love it. I love Isaiah, but some of them I'm like, seriously, Jesus, what were you thinking? But you know what? It's all his word. Yeah. And let's get the word of God in us. Let's be really called to be wild about this. Wild about it. Not just kind of know it a bit, but let it be our word. Have you got a word for this season? Can I challenge you? Have you got a word for this year? Some of you are like, what do you mean? Look, when we moved to this country, God gave us a word in Hebrews, which said, if you shrink back, I'll not be pleased with you. And I'm like, oh, that means I'm going to want to shrink back. Thanks. But, you know, that sustained us. When we wanted to shrink back, we had to remember, I can't do that. You know, and for this year, it's like, what's your word? What's your word? You know, for me this year is, you know, when Jesus said to the disciple, do you love me more than these?
What? I think so.
He's like, show me. Feed my sheep. Yeah. Feed my sheep. Who are you feeding? Yeah, what are you feeding? We can all feed each other rubbish, can't we? Yeah. All of us. You know, and I've had to learn to close my mouth because your gift can be your curse. Curse is nothing weird if you're visiting. It's just blocks your blessing. But let's love this. Let's really love it. Let's not just talk about it. Let's have it on our lips. Let's tell people that this is truth. It's truth. And this is shouting on me. My Bible says prophesy. Prophesy means encourage. It means speak life. And some of you in here like the thought of it, but don't do it. The Bible says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Be wild about them. But it's no good eagerly desiring if you don't use them. And he wants you to use them. What's the lady there nodding her head with me? Yes, you lovely. Yes. He wants to remind you that he is the God of yes. You've heard a few no's. But he's also the God of yes. And I think when we hear no a few times from God, we think he's a no God. But he wants to remind you today he's the God of the yes and amen. And you just said amen. But he's saying, tell her I'm the God of the yes and amen. And I'm faithful to accomplish what I've called her for. And you've had some doubts about that. You're like, when? How? You like to know. His ways are not yours, honey. His thoughts are not yours. So, but he sees you, and it's yes, and your yes is on the way. Amen? Love you. And if you're in here and you think, why did she pick her and not me? I've never got a word from platform. Listen, if I say out loud and you need a yes, take it. Because that's what prophecy is. If you need today to know that he's a God of yes, it's yours too. It's yours too. And that's important to him, that you get it. That he is a God of yes. So if you need that, take it. It's a lady there just touching your hair. Yeah. Yeah. We talked about dreams in the time we've been. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's all right for some. But God's saying, you can dream again, precious. You really can dream again. And you're like, it's risky. And I get that. And he understands that you're like, oh, talk to someone else right now. But dream again, big dreams. Because in you, because you do this. Oh, they'll do it. They're better than me. Comparison shrinks you. Stop it. Dream again. Write them down, journal them again, get them out if you've written them down in the past and start praying and believing over them. They're yours in Jesus' name. Love you. Nations. Don't be satisfied. You've kind of put it on the shelf going, oh, nations, whatever. You're going to live a long life. Don't try it and do it all in a year. You're impatient. I understand. You've got a big life, but nations in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you have tried prophecy in the past and you felt a bit like inward in it. It's like, oh, I don't know. And some of you would love just to have a go. Listen, just say something nice. Say something that will build and encourage. Try and put if you're really, really nervous, put the word in it always. It should always line up with this. So if you just got to say to someone, you know, Jesus died for you and he loves you so much, that'll do. That'll be a beginning. It'll build you up in your most holy faith. But I believe there's an anointing for prophecy. I believe that we're moving into a realm around the world in church where we're going to move in the gifts naturally, supernaturally, naturally. I really believe it's time. And some of us just need permission. We just need to say, yes, I'm going to have a go. That's all we need. So who of you, you know that you need to step up a bit more and you want to move in prophecy. Yeah. Look around. You thought it was just you. You thought it was just you. Raise your hand. Say, yeah, I want to move out. Stand up, my lovelies. There's an anointing in the room. And look around. Look around. This is the church of God. Imagine if we all did this. Imagine what your city, your part of the nation would look like if we actually started doing this. And can I remind you, prophecy is not for the church. It's where we practice. But prophecy is for the world. All the gifts are for the world. We can lay hands on people who don't know Jesus and they will recover. They will. I used to work on the streets. Carefully say that. I'm a trained drugs counsellor and I used to work with guys who were dealing drugs and stuff, and they're like, you, Margaret, you just don't understand the high. I'm like, let me pray for you. You'll see what high is. And Jesus always touched them in a way that they never forgot. Because that's what it's for. We don't need prophecy to know we're loved. We know we're loved. We've got the Bible. You're going to heaven. But the world needs it more than ever before. We need to be those people who speak life. So hands on your heart. If you're sitting down, pray for these people. Pray with me if you're standing. Jesus, today I recommit my mouth, my heart, my life to you. And I say, anoint me afresh with a gift of prophecy. And I'll use it every single day you give it to me, which is every day. So let's do this. Amen. Heaven is cheering. Woo! Heaven is like, woo, they're going to do it. Amen. Turn to that person next to you and say, I'm going to do it. You are. You so are. This is nothing where I was going to go. That's okay. I love God. Who disqualifies themselves? Keep saying, oh, I can't, I wouldn't, if only. I lived there, okay? With my background, that's where you live. I love James 1:5 in the Passion, it says, and if anyone longs to be wise, you know, when you hear the word wisdom, someone called me wise once and it terrified me. So I spent 10 years in Proverbs. You want to be wise? It's not a little trot. It's a journey. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment. But we need wisdom. There is a famine of wisdom. There's a famine of wisdom for marriage. There's a famine of wisdom for parenting. There's a famine of wisdom to how to stay single and pure. There is a famine of wisdom of how to raise generations that will stay in the house of God. And it's in here. Proverbs gives us wisdom. But we have to, it's not a once flick and pick. Oh, got it. No, it's a commitment to say, I'm staying on this journey because Jesus is the answer. And Proverbs is the key. And here it says, and if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures. Don't you love him? He doesn't go, oh, Margaret's so useless. Don't give her anything else. She didn't do it right last time. Listen, if you encourage someone, it's a blessing. That's all prophecy is. Wisdom is actually gained by doing things. Wisdom is not something you just have in your head. Wisdom works, but you have to work with it. And it says that wisdom, he won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. And I want you to think about the fact that, you know, we can all disqualify ourselves. I live disqualifying myself. You know, the reason Fred and I got divorced was not because we didn't love each other. I was so afraid he was going to reject me, I thought I'll reject him first. Isn't that crazy? And afterwards, he's like, oh, I wasn't going to do that. Mm-hmm. Wish you'd said. Assumption kills relationships. Don't assume. Check it out. You know, it's so important. It's really important. But, you know, being divorced disqualified me. You know, being young can disqualify you. And I had plenty of people telling me that I was too old and I was disqualified. I'm like, show me in the Bible retirement. I have searched. Beach house. We know on it, where would you like to be? A beach house. Like, I've looked. It says, run your race with perseverance, and it doesn't have an age limit on it. It says, run your race. That's my word for this year. It's like, Margaret, run your race with perseverance. That means you need to persevere. Run your race, but you can change lanes. Isn't that encouraging? You can change lanes. I'm not in the lane I was in college. I'm in a different lane, but I can still run. And we're called to run. It doesn't say, well, when you feel like it, have a walk. You know, because you've disqualified yourself. And you know what happens if you're running a race and you are disqualified? You're out. You're out. You're on the side. You may finish the race, but you're not counted. But that's not here. It doesn't disqualify us. And if you're young, don't... I work with a lot of young people that we're waiting. I'm like, what for? Seriously, what for? If you're born again and you're baptized in water and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's it. Sorry, that's it. They went and preached and 3,000 people got saved. Seriously, what are we waiting for? We have all that we need for life and godliness. Let's use it for his kingdom. But if we disqualify ourselves, we don't do that. But we can so easily disqualify ourselves for all sorts of reasons. You know, your failures, your lack of faith. You know, if you don't have faith, get some. It's a gift. Ask for some more. If you've used it, just say, I've used mine. I've got faith getting here. I'll have some more now, thanks, to come back on Sunday and to keep running. Ask and it shall be given unto you. We have stopped asking, church, for things that really matter. We ask for the things that really are temporal. Let's be those people who ask for the spiritual. Let's ask for the supernatural. We have not because we ask not. And that's what he said to me at the beginning of the year. I really believe, you know, I've always believed that God's going to use me to raise the dead. I know. Crazy, wild. But that's what I'm called for. But, you know, in Moldova, I saw a blind woman see, 3 deaf men heard. In India, just a month ago, another blind lady saw. I'm not special. I'm just willing. Yes. Are you willing? Yes. Are you willing to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? Yes. And you say, Margaret, I prayed and it didn't happen. So what? Have another go. Yes. Start with a headache. Seriously, when the blind lady came, she's like, I'm blind. I'm like, is she totally blind? Because it was in the interpreter. And he's like, she can see out of this eye. I'm like, let's start with a little bit. God doesn't mind. I started with a little bit of faith. I'm like, she's got a little bit in there. Come on, let's do this. Yeah, and so we prayed and she could see out that eye. And I thought she might be happy with that. So I was, woo-hoo-hoo! And she's like, this eye. Moldova's not a place to be blind. And so we prayed again. And we prayed, did you hear me? Not I prayed. Didn't want her to have faith in me. I said, you lay hands on yourself, I'll agree with you. Because we're not building people into us, we're building them to Christ. Always and forever. I was going home, Jesus stays forever. And so she prayed the second time and it was like in the Bible, she went, and I'm like, Jesus. So I said, you pray again, I'll agree. And then she could see, wasn't complicated. It's nothing to do with us. We're just willing. Yeah. And we didn't disqualify ourselves. Yeah. And that's all we have to do. It's like, are we hungry for the supernatural? Yeah. Can I remind us that's how we got saved? Yeah. Can't save yourself. Yes? Yeah. So we got saved supernaturally? Yes? Yeah. We got born again supernaturally. There's some people in here going to do that in a minute too, which is so exciting. And we got baptized in water supernaturally? Yes? Otherwise, we just got wet. I get baptized in Holy Spirit supernaturally. So why aren't we living supernatural lives every day, all day, 24 hours a day? Come on. This is what we're called for. Crazy, wild, ready to do it and have a go. Supernaturally. It's nothing to do with us. It's all to do with him. Crazy for Jesus, crazy for Holy Spirit, but not disqualified. So who's struggling and you know you struggle? over lots of areas. You've disqualified yourself in your marriage, in your parenting, not just in spiritual things. You've definitely disqualified yourself at work. Someone here has disqualified themselves and won't go for a promotion. Who are you? You know that you've put yourself and said, no, I'm not even going to apply for that job. Where are you? Yes. Stand up, gorgeous. Father, today, He's going to anoint you. You are qualified. You are more than able. And you will get what you ask for. And you will, as you go for it, precious, He's going to go before you. He's going to make a way. And He qualifies the unqualified. How amazing is He? Put your trust in Him. Pray with me. Put your hand on your heart. We're all going to pray with her because she's standing. Pray with me. Jesus, today, I receive an anointing for a new position. I will not shrink back in Jesus' name. Amen. We cheer with you, precious. Amen. That's how it is. Okay, everyone else who disqualifies themselves in general, which is quite a lot of us. Who are you? Stand. We're not going to mess. We haven't got a lot of time. Jesus is here. He's doing business. And He's, look around. You thought I was the only one. Have a look around. Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm not standing again. My grandson comes when I preach and he's like, Nan, I stood for everything. I'm like, so did I. I'm on my feet, people. I'm still standing. Pray with me. Hand on your heart. Wrong hand. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you that from today, I am no longer disqualified. You qualify me. You qualify me. I receive it. The truth that I am qualified in Christ. I will not disqualify myself going forward in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Cheer for those girls. Woo! Imagine what that's going to look like. I dare you to have a wild imagination governed by God. Just have it, a wild imagination governed by God. Imagine what that could look like. That we actually are qualified in Christ to have a go. Imagine. It's so exciting. It really is. Called to be wild about our families. You know, the good, bad, and the indifferent. Let's be wild about our families. Our family of God and our natural families. I haven't got time to give you all the words from these. Wild about the church. You know, Jesus is building the church, so better make sure you're in it and build with Him. I want to do what Jesus did. He built the church. He laid hands on the sick, they recovered. You know, when we're born again, we are Him. We are His hands and feet. We are the felt expression of Christ. Jesus is in heaven, yes? We all know that. But we are the felt expression. So when you smile at someone, it's like Jesus smiling at them. And some of us need to tell our face we're saved. She can't smile about anything else. If you're here today and your name's written in the book of life, we can smile. Amen? We need to. It's important. And we can just smile at someone. It can make all the difference. It really can. It can make all the difference in the world. And we can do that. So let's do it. But let's be those people who actually, you know, even the sandpaper brothers and sisters, you know. I used to ask God, why are they born? I was a pastor. Pastors in the room, no. Or in your family, like, why are they in my family? And I used to say in England, they say, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And I used to say that, and Holy Spirit said, well, I chose your family. And God said, I chose your family. I'm like, really? What were you thinking? But you know, what doesn't break you makes you stronger. And I had, my mum was 73, living in a mental institution. I had the privilege of leading my mum to Christ. Totally insane, totally sane. And I said, Lord, give me 1 year to get to like her. Because I loved her because I was a Christian. I didn't like her at all. And I didn't have any good memories. And my mum got saved at 73 and graduated to heaven at 92. How kind is God? How kind is He? He restores what the locusts have eaten. And some of you have had locusts. Okay, we're going to go there. Who's had locusts eat their stuff? Do you know what I mean by that if you've read your Bible a little bit? That the locusts come and they swarm and they just devour everything. And, you know, I didn't have a childhood. I have no nice childhood memories, but I'm very childlike because he's restored it. I get excited about everything. Everything, you know, everything. I didn't have to make breakfast. Woo! You know? I'm like, yay! I came back to conference. Woo! You know, I was like, when I got the email, I'm like, yes! And Jesus, like, look at her. I'm like, yeah, he restores. But who's eaten away at your life, your circumstances? You know that there's locusts been in your world. Raise your hands. Yeah, stand up. He's going to restore you today. He's going to restore. That's what he does. If he can do it for me, this crazy lady who's crazy and wild about Jesus, he will restore what the locust has eaten. He will restore it. He will give back. It's better than before. You know, my friend is an art restorer in England, and she restores artworks that are hundreds and hundreds of years old. And, you know, they don't do it with a bucket and a scrubbing brush. She goes to these amazing pieces of art with a cotton bud and just starts to take off the dirt and reveal the colour. God's going to work on you with a cotton bud. And he's just going to take it off layer by layer, bit by bit, so the colour of Jesus will shine again in you. Are you ready for that? You're so brave. I just want to honour you. You're so brave to stand. And some of you are thinking, oh, I should have stood. I don't know if I should stand. Sit. What is she talking to me? I don't know what a locust is. Just stand up, he's here. If you need to join them before we pray, just stand. If you know that there's something in your past that has robbed you, oh, well done, brave people. Well done, good girl, yeah. He'll love you to life. He loves obedience and he will love you to life. And he'll restore. And restoration is better than before. It's not just gonna take you back, it's better. Can you stand with her and give her a hug around the shoulder, please? Because we don't do it alone. Right, okay, pray with me even though you're crying, okay? Because we can still do this. Pray with me, hand on your heart. Pray with me, Jesus, today I let go of all the stuff the locust has eaten. And I receive by faith the peace and the power and the truth that I will be restored. Because that's what you do. And it's who you are. I receive it by grace, by power, and in truth, in Jesus' name. Please stay standing. Father, I pray for your peace right over every woman right now. Spirit of God, come and release the truth that you are the restorer, that you can do what only you can do. And I break every lie that it'll always be like this. And I say peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you. Love you. Yes. Yes. Give them a good clap. Love you. Okay, I've got 1 minute to do freedom and we're going to do it because Holy Spirit's not letting me get away with it. I thought I might not. When the sun sets you free, you're free indeed. Amen. You're free indeed. And the deed is to do and to love Christ. So if you know that you need to be free, stand to your feet right now. Just stand and say, any area I want to be free. We're going to do business with God. We don't need, you love me already. You have to, I'm going to heaven with you. We're going to spend eternity together. You might as well get to like me now. Freedom is what he paid for. It's really, really important. And let me give you a scripture because it's the word of God that changes us. Psalm 107:14, he said, his light broke through the darkness and he led us out in freedom from death's dark shadow and snapped every one of our chains. I'm going to read it again real quick. Psalm 107:14, his light broke through the darkness and he led us out in freedom from death's dark shadow and he snapped every one of our chains. He's the freedom God we serve. Hand on your heart. Pray with me. Jesus, today I receive the freedom you paid for and I'll walk it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Now heaven is really cheering. Chains are broken. Chains are broken. Woo-hoo-hoo! Chains are broken in Jesus' name. I can hear them. Chains have fallen.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.